KQED. Next week marks the anniversary of a decision that changed life for tens of thousands of Californians. Back in February 1942, President Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066, giving the okay to the internment of Japanese Americans. But they weren't the only ones the government considered suspicious during World War II. You may not know that 50,000 Italian Americans in California were deemed enemy aliens. Reporter Carrie Spivak brings us the story of the Bronzini family. They had a pretty good life in the Bay Area until the government targeted them, and they nearly lost everything.
Clara and Guido Bronzini came to the United States from a town near Pisa, Italy, in the late 1920s. World War I had devastated Italy. There were no crops, no jobs, no future. And the fascists were gaining power. Their son, Al, remembers his mother telling him fascists came to her house when she was a teenager.
And my grandfather, her father, he refused to fly the fascist flag. And so they tortured my grandfather.
Clara and Guido left Italy as soon as they could. They settled in an Italian community in Oakland. Guido opened a fruit market called the Banana Depot. He worked hard and earned a good income. Soon they bought a house, a refrigerator to replace the icebox, a brand new four-door Pontiac, and finally, a top-of-the-line radio.
Beauty, clarity, pure, true, undistorted tone. Philco Balanced Unit Radio.
It could receive stations from overseas, and I can remember my dad playing beautiful. He loved beautiful, he loved opera music. And life was good. Life was better than they could have ever dreamed possible.
Mamma, quel vino è generoso.
Life was so good that Clara and Guido forgot about finishing the paperwork for their citizenship. It didn't seem necessary. Italy and the United States had a great relationship. But that started to change in 1939, when Italy and Nazi Germany joined forces. Al's mom was especially torn between her love for Italy and for her new home in America.
She cried her eyes out. She just couldn't believe what was happening. And the worst was yet to come.
It came in February of 1942, just 2 months after the United States entered the war. Al is 88 now, but as we sit in his dining room, he says it feels like only yesterday when he was 13, having supper with his family, the night two policemen came to their front door.
They said, "Mr. Bronzini, we have to search your house. You are on the enemy alien list."
Clara and Guido were now two of 50,000 Italian immigrants in California who were designated enemy aliens.
They searched the house, found nothing. So they said, "We have to take your Philco radio."
Even flashlights, cameras, and shortwave radios were considered contraband.
And my mother would have no part of it. She pleaded with the police, "Do not, please do not take my radio." And as she was tugging and pleading and crying on the board of hysteria, her big, beautiful Philco radio, they carried it out the front door.
The government imposed a curfew and placed travel restrictions on anyone labeled an enemy alien. Al's parents couldn't go more than 5 miles from home without a permit. They had to join a nationwide registry and provide photos and personal information.
They had to go to the library and have their little alien book stamped every Friday.
If they violated these restrictions, they would be arrested, imprisoned by armed guards, and held behind barbed wire in local detention centers. Then came Executive Order 9066, which created prohibited zones, areas around strategic facilities like the coast and oil fields. 120,000 Japanese Americans would be removed to internment camps further inland. Thousands of Italian immigrants were forced from their homes in the Bay Area, Santa Cruz, Monterey, Los Angeles, and all the coastal areas between. The Bronzinis could keep their home, but the family's fruit market was in one of those zones.
My father received a notice that his beloved Banana Depot was off limits to him.
Without an income from the Banana Depot, Guido took work where he could find it. But the stigma of being an enemy alien followed him.
A little bit of chatter and bingo, that guy's an enemy alien. He's out of here.
For Al's mother, the growing similarities between the life she escaped in Italy and the new restrictions in America became overwhelming.
She used to say in Italian, "Non abbiamo fatto niente a nessuno. We have done nothing to no one. Why is this happening?"
It got so bad that she suffered a mental breakdown and was admitted into a hospital.
This is not a crazy woman. This is a woman who has been stripped of her dignity, and she just wasn't handling it.
Al remembers one Sunday going to visit her with his father and brother.
Carrie, I still have trouble with this one. She was sitting on her bed in a straitjacket. A straitjacket.
8 months later, Columbus Day, 1942, President Roosevelt lifted the restrictions on Italian enemy aliens, citing their loyalty to America.
We are celebrating today the exploit of a bold and adventurous Italian, Christopher Columbus, who with the aid of Spain opened up a new world where freedom and tolerance and respect for human rights and dignity provided an asylum for the oppressed of the old world.
Historians believe Roosevelt needed the support of Italian Americans for the invasion of Italy. In the Bronzini family, Clara slowly recuperated. Guido reopened the Banana Depot, the family fruit market. He and Clara immediately enrolled in classes and became naturalized citizens before the war ended. Al says his parents never again talked about their time as enemy aliens.
What good would it be to talk about it? What are you going to do, complain? To who? If they didn't listen then, they're going to listen now?
The United States government wouldn't talk about it either. Information about Italian enemy aliens was confidential until 2001, when a grassroots effort got Congress to pass legislation making these wartime injustices public. A few years after that, the state of California apologized. As for an apology from the federal government, United States Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren recently sponsored legislation that would formally apologize and fund education about the treatment of Italian Americans during World War II. Al Bronzini says he doesn't blame the government for what happened to his mother and father.
He's a good man. A good man. He suffered a lot. And so did my mother. And so did many others. But freedom isn't free. And don't take your freedom for granted. You think it can't happen today? Ha! You kidding me?
It's a story, he says, that we need to keep telling. For the California Report, I'm Carrie Spivak.